I want to read to you a couple scriptures, starting with John. John 1, verse 9 says, "There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man." Actually, I think a better translation says, "There was a true light, which enlightens every person coming into the world." Every person that comes into the world, Jesus, the light, is enlightening them. He's placing eternity in their hearts. It goes on to say, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own that he created, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." And then I'd like to read out of Romans. Now, as I do this, I'd have to say, just observing my wife and my daughter, and in this last few days after we got done with the preschool program and all the activities, we kind of were trying to take a break, I guess. And the weather was perfect, so I did a lot of outside stuff. I think we haven't talked about it, but it's like we all just sunk in a hole. I was just talking to Harley before, you know, that sometimes when you're really busy and all of a sudden you get a break, it's amazing how many times you get sick or depressed or whatever. It's like your body and your whole system needs to be rebooted, and you're just going on adrenaline, and when you finally shut down, you just kind of go into a hole. And you kind of got to go into that lonely place and that hole sometimes to get restored. And so part of what, it was just awesome to be outside in the nice weather and all that. It doesn't seem very Christmassy, but it's sure got a lot of things done. But then I also decided I'd listen to a little bit about what's going on in the world. And I keep in touch, but I don't try to dwell too much on all that. So I listened to a lot of things, and I have to say that I believe it's just amazing how everybody is talking, yelling, trying to persuade people to be on their team. And not always just even trying to persuade, just demanding. I watched some politicians, I watched some other leaders, and it was just like they're all demanding that they got the truth and you better listen up. And I think we're going to go into 2024. We got an election year coming up. I think you're going to hear more and more rants and just people just shouting and screaming at you, trying to get you to believe something. And I think for many, I have to admit, even some of the people that were sharing some of the most, in our opinion, ridiculous theology and ridiculous logic, some of them were still very articulate. And it's almost like, wow, they almost could persuade you, even though if you just step back and say, but that's just not, that doesn't make any sense at all. And I was just thinking about how many people who do not have a foundation in their life, how confused they're going to be in the next few years or whatever we got. And so I just wanted to share, for all of us, I think it's really important to slow down once in a while and examine why we believe what we believe and resolve if we really do believe it or not. So I'm going to read to you out of Romans 1st chapter. It says, "Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them." As we share with other people, always remember this, that Jesus has enlightened every person. He's stuck eternity in everybody's heart. I don't fully understand that, but there is a glimmer in there of revelation that needs to be drawn out. And so no matter who you're talking to, no matter where their background is, just realize that God is speaking to them. He's trying to draw them in. And you don't need to argue with them. You're not going to win by being another loud voice, I don't think. I think you're going to win by just sincerely caring. Jesus so loved the world that he gave. And so what we can do is give a hearing ear to these people and some, and but just recognize in our own heart that God has made himself evident. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through that which was made, so that they are without excuse. And I got thinking about it. For somebody who's not very firm in their foundation, they could be easily deceived in the days to come. But for all of us that even have believed in Christ for a long time, if you grew up, Elisa got born again when she was 4 years old. A man named Cooper Beatty, a pastor, a Quaker pastor, had a monkey that he puppet. And he did his little puppet thing and asked if anybody wanted to be born. And Elisa got born again. Isn't that amazing? From that little time and all these years, all the people and the children that she's led to the Lord. What evidence do we have that Christ really is the answer? My son sent me a video clip of a comedian, and I'd play it for you, but it was pretty foul in the language. At the same time, I kind of enjoyed it because he was just kind of saying, you know, there's, you know, he wasn't proclaiming he's a believer or anything, but he just said, you know, there's a lot of people saying that we came from nothing. The scientists say we come from nothing. He said, there's other people who believe that God actually created things. And he kind of made just a mockery of the whole thing, and part of it, he just said, you know, if we came from nothing and now we're here, and then we say, and so then sometimes you ask him, well, what happens when we die? You go back to nothing, and he says, well, isn't that interesting? You went back to your creator. And at the same time, how can nothing produce something and then go back to nothing? It's just illogical. And I got thinking about just how tough it'd be to know when you're bombarded with everything. And our universities have been, a spirit of Antichrist has been in our universities for a long time. Turned a whole bunch of kids just to mock the idea that there's a God. But today I just want to say, if you never read the Bible, if you never saw it before, but you're a person that had a heart for seeking truth, you would find Jesus by what was created by him, by looking at nature, by studying chemistry, by studying biology and studying all those things, you would find the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the creator. Call him nothing if you want to. In some ways, they're closer than they think. They just don't like the name God, I guess. But in some, we came from him and we'll return to him. I just wanted to share with you, a friend of mine then called me yesterday, asked a theological question. It was fun. I've known him for a long time, but he just reminded me. He just said, I just want to tell you, John, how grateful I am. He was a very successful attorney. He went through some real tough times. His marriage hit tough waters, and his wife left him. He went into a depression. A doctor friend of his recommended that he goes to a Christian counselor. He went there. This man was raised in church all his life. Parents took him to Sunday school. But this counselor just said, did you ever really accept Jesus into your heart before? And whatever, however he shared it with him, he said, no. And he said, would you like to? And he said, I would. And he said, I'll never forget driving home and feeling peace that I'd never felt before. Feeling a contentment that I'd never known before. In the midst of my worst scenario of my life, I felt something. I felt his love. I felt his forgiveness. I felt life.
And I thought, as simple as that is, isn't that the most powerful evidence we have of a transformed life? And all those that want to mock or whatever else, they can do that. It's their choice. I thank God that God didn't say, you have to go fix everybody, John, or to any of us, but we get to share our faith. So I want to share a couple more testimonies and just to encourage ourselves to simply slow down and realize, why do we believe that there is this Lord Jesus Christ? One of them was a guy named Jim Beck. Anybody remember Jim Beck? Well, I'm surprised we didn't have more. Jim Beck ran a dealership in Deadwood for years and years, a car dealership, Beck Chevrolet, I think it was. Jim was a very loud, boisterous man. He's a big guy. He was loud. He loved sports, and he loved fishing, and he loved hunting, and he would just tell stories, and boy, he could tell the biggest stories on all the hunting. He did a lot of stuff. And Jim Beck was just a real powerful guy. I met Jim Beck because his daughter came to our church. She was 32 years old, had their second born child, started bleeding. They took her to Rapid. I stayed there in the hospital for a couple days. She ended up, I went home. I get a call from the hospital. I said, I called them. I said, I just want to check, is there any family there? And the phone went silent. And I finally said, are you there? This lady tried to get her composure. The nurse did and just said, she passed away. And so this young 32-year-old mother died, and they asked me to do the funeral up in Deadwood. It was the first funeral I ever did. I was scared out of my mind. That's when I met Jim. And Jim was loud, but this he took it really hard. And as a young pastor, I didn't really know what to do. The Lord just kept saying to me, he says, stand close to him. So I'd go stand close to him. He wouldn't say anything to me. And then pretty soon he'd leave. And I'd kind of go, and then the Lord said, he's over there. Go stand next to him. I said, I don't think he wants me. So I'd go over there and stand beside him again. Well, we got through that funeral about 10 years later. A friend of mine that called me up and said he went to see Jim. Jim was in the hospital in Fort Meade. He had cancer. He was dying. My friend tried to witness to him, and he said, I really don't want to hear you. He said, I don't want to hear about it. And then he said to my friend, he said, where do you go to church? And he said, I go to Pastor John's. And he goes, tell him I want to meet him. Tell him to come see me. Tell him I want to get baptized and I want to join the church. So I went to him. And I said, Jim, I'm here. And he says, I want to do this and that. I said, okay, Jim, if we can take care of that. But they said, that's not really why you called me. He said, it's not. I said, no, you want to know where you're going. Pierce came to this big old man, tough guy. He said, I do. And I led him to the Lord. And for the next 30 days, I stayed with him. He suffered pretty tough. One of the coolest things was to get to witness at his funeral to all his friends that knew how bold he was, how brass he was, how he was always hunting stories, all that stuff. I got to share with him that for those next 30 days of being with him, about every day, not once did he bring up a story. Not once did he brag on a great hunt. He just wanted to know more about where he's going and this wonderful Savior that changed his life. I'm telling you, the evidence is really evident when you see a heart transformed and a whole being change. There was a young man that was my age. I was young once. He was one of the rowdiest guys I knew. He was a good old country boy. Lived way out in the country. He was a cowboy. He was a marksman. He loved guns. He loved automotive. He didn't do real good in school because he just didn't see much purpose in it. Although he's really smart. Extremely smart.
All his guns were all filed down to hair triggers. And me, he knew everything about every caliber and every carburetor you ever dreamed of. I ended up renting to him a building to be so he could do his mechanic work. And one day he drove home, and this guy, had, man, he got drunk so many times, and he rolled his outfit, I think, half a dozen times. At one time, he rolled a big old ton truck over the river edge and went rolled it, I think, 15 times until he landed down at the bottom. He was just a fun guy. He was at my first wedding I ever did. We were outside. We had Harleys for a Nile. And it was quite a trip, to say the least. And afterwards, he came up to me. He was extremely drunk. He said, "Pastor John, that's the best blankety blank sermon I've ever heard." And I said, "Well, thank you, Casey." And he said, "One of these days, I'm going to get my kids and get them to church and get some religion in them." And I just said, "Well, if I was you, I would never do that." And I walked away. Can you imagine what he was thinking in his head? What did John just say? He has a church, and he told me not to take my kids. I just told him not to get the religion in him. Ended up that he was driving home from work one day and all of a sudden ran into a tree. Couldn't figure out why. And long story short, his eyes were shaking. They finally diagnosed him with MS. And within a short time, he lost control of one hand, and he lost control of a leg. And his life was just going down, and he shook like crazy, and he couldn't work. And this guy had worked all his life. He was tough. He was active. And one day he called me up, and he said, "John?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "I just put a 30-06 to my neck." And then he said, he had a fun way of talking. He said, "You know how I shake?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I stuck my finger in the keyhole. And you know how I shake with my hair trigger guns. It wasn't a smart idea." I said, "No, it wasn't, Casey." He said, "My wife came in and saw me and just said, 'Man, if you're going to do it, don't do it in front of me and the kids.'" And she left the room and slammed the door. And he called me. He said, "Can you help me?" I said, "I'll be right over." Man, I'm telling you, sometimes my whole heart just goes, "Oh, Lord, what can we do to help?" I just say, "Help me, Jesus. I don't." And I got there, and we shared, and I just said, "Casey, I'm not a professional anything. I don't have a degree. I'm not a psychologist. All I have is Jesus. And I can share him with you if you want." I'll never forget his words. He said, "Why do you think I called you?" He said, "I know who you are. I know what you believe. I've watched you all these years." He said, "I've always wanted to know what the Bible is all about, but I didn't know who to ask. I've always believed in him." The Lord spoke to me that day, and something that has changed my life. He said, "Listen to what the man said before you speak." And one of the things he said, he says, "I believed in him." And the Lord said to me, while he's talking to me, just said, "Did you hear what he said?" I said, "I think I heard what he said." He said, "What do you think about that?" And I said, "Well, according to the scriptures, it says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you're saved." So I didn't lead Casey to the Lord. I told him what had happened. I said, "You believe in him, you're saved. Acknowledge now that Christ is inside you." Casey ended up losing control of his legs. He ended up losing control of all of his body. He would drive to church in this big old Cadillac, and he should never have been driving. He couldn't see anything. His eyes would shake like that. He actually went leaving church one time. He hit a big pole down here on Main Street and knocked over the light pole. Casey was such a country boy, he just brought his truck with the welder on it and his sons and welded it back up the next day. He was so unorthodox. And yet, as years went by, he lost control of everything, and he was down to where he's laying in bed, and all he could move was his neck. His wife had to feed him. He had no control of anything else in his body. And I went to see him,
as I did often. And I knew his time was, I figured his time was close, and I said something about, you know, it's better, Paul said it's better to be with the Lord, you know, than to be here. And he said, well, that's Paul's experience, not mine. He said, I have no reason. And I thought he was going to say, I have no reason to live. And he said, I have no reason to want to leave. And we prayed and we believed God, and he lived for quite a while longer. He finally told his wife, I said, I don't really want to go, but if you stop feeding me, obviously I'm gone. So as long as you want me, keep feeding me. I'm telling you, what a transformed life. What an evidence that there's a living God. And then there was, how many of you remember the tsunami? Anybody remember the tsunami over in Thailand? Wiped out tens of thousands of people. My friend was there right afterwards. And they were just helping get water to people and stuff, and they met a Muslim lady. And they helped her, and they helped, and she finally got to talking to them and said, I've lost my husband and 11 children. Lost them all. So within seconds, they were gone. Somehow she survived. Can you imagine the pain and the heartache? And they just loved on her and finally got to share the gospel with her, and she accepted Jesus. And they said, you could not believe how happy she was. You could not believe, she said, she's just full of joy. She says, oh, that she came to know what life was all about. So being all over the world, I have to say that it just doesn't matter what everybody was grown up in. When they meet Christ, the living God, it changes everything. There was a Buddhist man that came forward in one of my services in Burma, he and his wife, and she came forward, and I can't remember, she's a Christian. She came forward for something, healing, and then I looked at him, and he had these big old knobby knees, man, they were just gigantic. He's a little skinny guy, and I was talking to her, and boy, when you're working through an interpreter, it's always a little challenge to make sure you got everything right. Talking to her, I found out she is a believer, and we prayed for her for something. And then I turned to him, I said, do you believe in Jesus? He says, no, I don't. I'm a Buddhist. I said, okay. He said, I'm just here to support her. And I just looked at him. I said, I noticed when you walked up, you can't, you know, it appears your knees hurt. He says, oh, they won't work. He said, they're painful as all get out. I said, what have you done as, you know, somehow I asked him with his Buddhism. I said, how's that working for you? I'm sorry, I don't know how he did it, but I did. He said, I prayed, I've done everything, nothing works. Doctors can't do anything. I just said, sir, may I pray for you and pray for your knees? He said, yes. I said, by the way, if Jesus heals him, would you like to know him? He said, I would love to know him. If he heals my knees. I put my hands on his knees and I commanded them to be healed, and he took off dancing. He literally took off dancing and shouting. Came back and got born again, and we'll see him in heaven. Audrey, if you'd come again in the band. Frankly, folks, the evidence is all around us. But more importantly than trying to argue all the scriptures and fight with all these people, if you want to do it, go ahead. If you want to argue with them, fine. But the truth is, everybody that's shouting real loud right now is hurting inside. And just remember that as you go into it. Hold fast your own confidence. I think about as I look out in this crowd, I know a lot how, I don't know how all of you came to know the Lord, but several of you I do, and your testimony is awesome. But here's the biggest thing. No matter what happens in the future, no matter what we go through,
No matter what we encounter in the next years to come, and I think we're going to encounter a lot of stuff. I just really encourage you to hold fast. Remind yourself of what Christ has done in your life. Don't take it lightly that you got born again. Don't take it lightly, even though you've been saved for 50, 60, 70 years, don't take it lightly that you were once lost and now saved, that you once were confused and now you know the Creator of the universe, and He's your Father. Remind yourself of these basics all the time, of your own story, and then keep your story going. I guess my encouragement to you, do what you like, but my encouragement is to you, it's not now about what group you sign up with. It's not which party you belong to. It's not all those things. It's between you and Him. Hold fast to that. You don't need a mediator. You don't need a group. You don't need, and the people you meet, you don't need to convert them into a group. You don't need them to, you know. Sometimes people say, oh, I love my church. I don't say that because I think it's confusing to people. It's like you're trying to promote your group to them and see if they'll come join your group. That's not what we're about. We love Him. And we love the people around us. And we're not trying to get them into our group, and we're not trying to convince them about everything and about all the different views. Listen, there's going to be a lot of people get to heaven and have wrong opinions about a lot of things. And they're still going to be there. And so are you, and so are I. It's not a matter of us all figuring all that out. It's a matter of us having a relationship with the nothing that we came from, so we can return back to our nothing, which is our Creator. The evidence is all around us. Would you stand? We're going to close with this song.
So I declare to you, Merry Christmas. Have a great time. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And what you set your hands to, he will bless. And in your comings and your goings, you will be blessed. And in your children, you'll be blessed. And in all your activities, God's hand will be upon you. And his angels have been sent upon you to minister to you and protect you. And they will keep you. So rise up strong. Enjoy your life. Walk with your God. And be fully assured. There is no doubt. There is no doubt. He is alive. And he's in you. God bless you. Merry Christmas.